Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score, alongside co-host Sean Hyken of NBC Sports and Bleacher Report. And as always, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher, on Audio Boom. You can email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow myself at Cody Westerlund. You can follow Sean at Hyken. And you can find us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls. It is the first day of NBA free agency. It is shortly after 5 p.m., so we've already had some of the initial frenzy. I believe 16 of the top 100 free agents have already agreed to deals here on the opening day. None of them, Sean, though, have agreed with the Chicago Bulls, of course.
And we haven't even heard, like, anybody, you know, the Bulls linked to anybody or in discussions with anybody. There are a few guys that the Bulls have kind of been rumored to be kicking the tires on that have already signed elsewhere, but you haven't even heard the Bulls are negotiating with this guy or the Bulls are in talks with this player. Like, you've just heard nothing.
Yeah, I guess the only really intense interest is exactly what we expected so far, was the Bulls have been in contact with their own free agent, Etuan Moore, who they view, obviously, and who has played as a combo guard for them and had one probably his best season last year in Fred Hoiberg's rookie coaching season. And Etuan Moore, the Bulls in contact with him on Thursday. He was taking meetings today as well. The Pelicans, the Wolves, among others, are interested in Etuan. So as weird as it sounds, Etuan Moore is really seemingly still the priority free agent for the Bulls right now. They're very much on the fringes of everything else that seems to be going on in free agency. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say so. And then, you know, guys that, you know, they've been linked to, Evan Turner was a guy a couple of different outlets reported that they had some interest in. He signed a big deal with Portland for 4 years, $75 million. Deion Waiters is another guy that they've been linked to, and he, it seems like, is going to either sign with Sacramento or Philadelphia.
And Solomon Hill, another name. The Pacers free agent who has matriculated to the New Orleans Pelicans for 4 years, $50 million or so. What's been your favorite deal that seems to make you want to reevaluate your life here so far in what was a hectic free agency with the cap going up to $94 million? Everyone has money. Timothy Mozgov introduced us to the new normal in the NBA with a 4-year, $64 million deal in the wee hours Friday morning, shortly after free agency opened. Any contracts really pop out to you, Sean?
Well, that's the main one, because Timofey Mozgov played 76 total minutes in the playoffs last year, or this year. I mean, he was a big part of what the Cavs were doing last year. He was huge in the playoffs and then the finals last year, the year that they lost to the Warriors. But he barely even got off the bench this year in the postseason, and he got $16 million a year, basically as the Lakers' consolation prize, because they tried to get a meeting with Kevin Durant, couldn't get one. Then their next target was Hassan Whiteside, and he was basically down to Miami and Dallas by the end of it, and he this morning decided, you know, pretty quickly that he was going to stay in Miami.
Yeah, and another, a position mate, I guess, of Mozgov's would be Joakim Noah, who spent the first 9 years of his career in Chicago, and the Joakim Noah era is over.
Yes.
He made it official, I think, this afternoon with an Instagram post of himself in a New York Knicks hat. 4 years is $72 million, I believe, and what do you make of that deal? Joakim going back to New York to team up with good friend Derrick Rose, who the Bulls traded to the Knicks last week, as well as Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps Porzingis out there.
Well, I think if he's healthy, it makes a lot of sense. He's, you know, he's exactly the kind of big, just in a vacuum, that you would want to put next to Porzingis. He's a good rebounder. He can complement Porzingis on defense. He's a good passer. He doesn't really need a lot of touches. I don't feel great, and I've seen that, I don't think the official terms are out yet, but I've seen that the fourth year on that deal is guaranteed. So I don't know how I feel about giving Joakim Noah a fully guaranteed four-year deal at this point in his career with his injury history.
Yeah, the $18 million that he signed is basically, as a percentage of the cap, it's pretty much a wash with the $13 million he was getting from the Bulls this past year. So if you want to look at it in those terms instead of the raw number of $18 million, I mean, it's $13 million again in this past season's NBA kind of landscape. But he was breaking down. That's a lot of money to pay someone who has injury problems, or excuse me, knee problems and shoulder problems now.
Yeah, it's a huge risk, and I understand the deal from the sense of, you know, he's a New York guy, he is tight with Derrick Rose, he was heavily involved in recruiting Carmelo Anthony to Chicago a couple of years ago. I get it from that standpoint. I just think they paid too much. They gave him too many guaranteed years. That's certainly not a deal I would have done.
The Knicks are going to retroactively win the 2011 or 12 NBA title, perhaps.
Absolutely, they've got the, you know, if you got Derrick Rose. And then also Eric Gordon has been linked to the Knicks also. And like this is back, you know, back in 2010 or 2011 when he was healthy.
The Knicks might be setting a record for one-dimensional players who have an injury history on the same team.
Absolutely. And I don't think Joakim is a one-dimensional player because he can't really score, but he's a good passer as well as his defensive abilities. But I just, at this point in his career, I don't know how much he's got left.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another name in the New York area we can tie to is Jeremy Lin, who went to the Brooklyn Nets on a 3-year, $36 million deal that looks like perhaps the most fair deal of free agency so far. And we touted Jeremy Lin for like our first 7 podcasts, I think. So I know you're probably a fan of that signing for the Nets.
I am shocked that they got him for that little. I mean, $12 million a year, and you're seeing some of this money that some of these other guys are getting. I mean, I understand. I mean, I totally get it from his standpoint. You know, Kenny Atkinson used to be an assistant coach of his in New York, and he was familiar with him. And he also gets to go back to the New York market where he was super popular in when he was with the Knicks during the Linsanity era. So he's going to have some marketing opportunities there. He was a guy that you and I had talked about. I don't think the Bulls were ever officially linked to him based on any reports, but he's a guy that you and I had talked about as a good fit who might be in their price range, but he's off the board now.
Yeah, I mean, our podcast is free to consume, so I don't know if Gar Forman did consume it yet, but we were giving out that the pointers, you know, back the Brinks truck up for Jeremy Lin, give him like that 1 year, $18 million, $20 million deal, whatever, because we think the Bulls are just going to be disastrous next year at point guard as it currently sits. And, you know, Jeremy Lin obviously had previously said he kind of wanted to settle down a little more and have long-term stability.
Sure.
Which this deal absolutely does give him. But, I mean, it's just a reflection of there's not really anyone left on the point guard market for the Bulls to pursue besides their own Etuan Moore, who's not even a true point guard.
No, and, you know, you've seen some links. Casey Johnson of the Tribune mentioned in his free agency roundup for the Bulls, Rajon Rondo, and I don't think that's a good fit at all.
Yeah, I don't like it either. Again, I've said this before, but I don't think you need to make the locker room any more moody than it was last year. And, you know, Rajon Rondo, when he's playing well, he's a marvelous talent, but there's a lot of drama that comes with him often, and we could trace back through a long time in history, but he's also not the player he was 3 or 4 years ago, obviously. So for the Bulls, I mean, again, you've said before there's no bad one-year contract right now when you have money and you have to spend it, and obviously the Bulls have $24 million or so in cap space, and they have to get to spend at least $15 million of that or so, but Rondo would be a weird fit in my mind.
He also, like, they need other guards, but they need guards who can shoot, and Rondo can't shoot.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, too. Someone who can shoot, maybe, is Alan Crabb.
Yeah.
Portland Trailblazers restricted free agent, and the reason we bring his name up is because the Bulls haven't, again, been directly linked to him yet. We haven't heard anything directly, but the Blazers gave a lot of money to Evan Turner. They are reportedly after Pau Gasol, a former Bull who is going to depart from Chicago.
Just by the way, I don't understand the fit in Portland for Pau at all.
Yeah, that's he's a talented offensive player. I don't know if that's what the Blazers need. Put the ball in the hands of CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard seems to make the most sense. I think Dwight Howard actually makes more sense.
He does. They need a rim protector.
Yeah, someone who can just dunk and play defense, and that's not Powell at this point. So the point is the Blazers, though, are throwing a lot of money at other people who aren't Alan Crabb or teammate Mo Harkless yet. Alan Crabb's more of a backcourt guy, a 2-3. Harkless is a 3-4. Is there any way the Bulls could swoop in and maybe be interested in this guy's and have a chance to pry them off Portland's hands?
Well, they're going to have competition if they want to go after either one of those guys. Those guys are, you know, I think out of all the wings that are available, those guys are probably among the most productive. Harkless really established himself in the playoffs last year for Portland, and Crabbe kind of had a breakout year. Basically, as Portland's sixth man, he's a good shooter, he's a solid defender. I think it would be a good move for the Bulls to throw an offer sheet at either one of those guys. And, you know, with the amount of money that the Blazers just gave to Evan Turner, you have to think they're going to let at least one of them walk.
Yeah, I would think so. And Alan Crabbe averaged 10 points last year in about 26 minutes per game. He shot 39% on three-pointers. So, you know, he can bring a multi-faceted skill set to your team if you do go that route. And the moratorium lasts until July 6th. So yeah, you can't actually sign an offer sheet until July 7th, then the team that they previously played for has 72 hours, 3 days, to match that offer sheet if they want. But the thing is, the Bulls have, I mean, they have time, they have patience, because they're not chasing the headlining free agents. So if they want to play it cool, play it chill for a while, they have a few days here to figure this out and work out deals with these guys. Is there a fit you see for either one of those guys, Harkless or Crabbe in Chicago, that would make more sense? Or is there a number, how many millions, how many years, that you would possibly look into?
Well, the Bulls have $25 million in cap space, and that's, you know, assuming if they were to sign each one more for the early bird exception, they wouldn't have to dip into that to sign him. But honestly, if they think they can get Crabbe or Harkless, I would be okay throwing whatever those guys wanted at them. I think they're both very good fits, especially Crabbe. I think I like the Crabbe fit a little bit better because Harkless is more of a 3/4, and they already have, you know, a lot of minutes that they need to divide up between McDermott, who they believe in, and Mirotić, who is going to get a lot of minutes. I might think that Crabbe is, or that Harkless is better than at least one of those guys, but I think Crabbe fills more of a need. He's going to be more expensive, but he's the guy I would go after.
Yeah, and that ties into a question we had from Josh Moody on Twitter. If you have the choice between Crabbe and Harkless, which you kind of just touched on, and also Dion Waiters, who would you pick?
I would pick not Dion Waiters.
Not Dion Waiters. He is he's definitely...
I want no parts of that.
He is definitely a handful. Bernie M2 on Twitter asks, who's the ideal number one free agency target for the Bulls?
Etuan Moore.
Etuan Moore is the answer right now.
That's Gar Foreman's answer.
That was Gar's answer Monday at the press conference. He brought up Etuan's name kind of unsolicited, I think, just kind of just in the general realm of free agency. And again, I think I've said this, like, if they bring it up unsolicited, you know that means a little more than you just directly asking him a question and them giving a...
like, well, this guy's a very good player, we'll look into that.
Yeah, so Ed Sankey asks, is free agency a failure if the Bulls don't re-sign Etuan Moore, given that Gar Foreman essentially called him a priority?
I mean, yeah. I mean, considering it doesn't seem like they're really highly motivated to do a lot else. They have to spend all this money on somebody. They're like $25 million under the cap, so they need to do something. And if he calls Etuan the priority, and if he's not really interested in signing anybody else, he can outbid anybody for Etuan Moore. And if he ends up not getting him, then yeah, I would say that is a failure.
Yeah, if you don't sign anyone, and if you can't...
Whoa.
What do we have on Twitter, Sean?
From Shams Shenaria of The Vertical, Dwight Howard has reached agreement on a 3-year, $70 million deal with the Atlanta Hawks.
With the Hawks. There goes our Dwight Howard. I guess we just advocated for Dwight Howard in Portland. That's not going to happen. He's going to the Hawks. Is that a good fit for Dwight?
I mean, it really depends on what happens with Al Horford. I don't know what's going on with that. You know, he's meeting with Boston. He is has been linked to Oklahoma City. That's somebody that they're going to be trying to chase with, you know, as part of their quest to keep Kevin Durant. I think he would be a great fit there. If you just add Dwight Howard next to Paul Millsap, you don't have Al Horford. Like, I don't know what you're really accomplishing.
That is a little bit weird. I mean, Paul Millsap's a marvelous kind of all-around talent. And but I mean, he's kind of a little bit more get up and go slash the rim pick and roll guy. You don't want to clog the lane too much for him, and Dwight Howard might do that a little bit. But I mean, Dwight Howard's an Atlanta guy, obviously going home, and they're kind of in flux too with Al Horford, so maybe they want to make a proactive move a little bit more.
Yeah, I would say. And then we also have another deal. This is from Jeff Zilgit at USA Today. The Orlando Magic have reached a 1-year, $15 million agreement with Jeff Green, who's a guy that somebody asked us about on the podcast before. I don't love Jeff Green. I don't know how he fits with the Magic, really, but in my opinion, there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal.
We're 14 minutes into the podcast, and we have two breaking news stories there. Neither tied to the Bulls yet, again.
Nope.
We are trying to stress patience.
Nothing's tied to the Bulls fans. Unless Etuan Moore is.
You know, we thought, you know, should we do a podcast here with free agency with everything changing so quickly? And we kind of were a little hesitant, but we're like, yeah, let's go for it and react on the first day of free agency. But this might have a shelf life of like 5 days as it pertains to the Bulls. They just play the Etuan Moore thing.
This is the opposite of that. Back in 2011, I did a podcast right after the Chris Paul to the Lakers news story came out in 2011. And I was talking with some Paroxysm guys on this podcast, and we were talking about how Chris Paul fits with the Lakers and whether that means they might get Dwight Howard also. And then the middle of the podcast, the news that comes out that the league had vetoed that deal. So I don't think anything's ever going to top that.
That's an excellent point. I do want to point out, I would expect something to happen with Etuan Moore actually sooner rather than later. I don't see this dragging out a long time. He's going to hear all his pitches, get his offers, and probably make a decision here in the next few days.
I would say the Bulls should be cautiously optimistic about keeping him unless somebody blows them away with an offer. Because, I mean, Etuan does, you know, he's a Midwest guy. He likes playing under Fred Hoiberg. He's one of the few guys that got markedly better under Hoiberg than he was under Thibodeau. And he also just, I think he's appreciative of the Bulls for giving him this opportunity, because like we've talked about with him in the past, he's just kind of been a guy that bounced around in the D League and like never really caught on anywhere before that.
Yeah, and I do want to point out, I mean, $24 million for the Bulls in cap space, if they go out there and give like Etuan Moore 11, 12 million of that a year, 10, 11, 12, they're probably not going to have room to chase Mo Harkless and give him a starting salary, or Alan Crabb, some of these guys we've mentioned. Would you agree?
I would say so. I think that's why if it's up to the Bulls, I think they want to sign Etuan with the early bird negotiations where they can give him like a $6 million a year salary without having to dip into their cap space. I would imagine if Etuan has this many suitors, he's probably going to get more money than that from somebody else.
Matthew Dellavedova got 4 years, $38 million from the Bucks. And he's a restricted free agent, but general manager LeBron James of the Cavaliers thanked Deli on Twitter, called him his boy, something like that. Everything
and said, have fun in Milwaukee, congratulations on your new deal. So
I don't think there's any pretense of the Cavs coming out or whatnot and matching that contract. But
see, if I were LeBron, I would try to push Dan Gilbert to match it just to make Dan Gilbert go further into the luxury tax.
Oh, man, that is something else. But, I mean, if Matthew Dellavedova's getting $9.5 million a year, Etuan Moore should be gunning for something close to
13,
that,
14, honestly.
Perhaps that is.
I think he's pretty significantly better basketball player than Dellavedova.
Yeah. And Coach Brimmer on Twitter asks, can the Bulls get a first round pick for Taj Gibson or Mike Dunleavy? Two of their players who don't fit the long term picture, but still have value as next season goes and still have very, very fair contracts in this landscape and kind of changing culture of the NBA.
I think you could get a pick for Taj Gibson a little bit more easily than you could for Dunleavy. Agreed. I know Dunleavy's contract is cheaper, but he's a little bit older. He had the back surgery that kept him out the majority of last year. I think he missed the first 50 games of the season and didn't come back until February. Taj, you know, as we've talked about, Taj is a guy that you could put him on any team and he'd find a way to contribute no matter what the rest of the roster is like. He can play both ends of the floor. And again, he has on a very reasonable contract. Plus, he's a terrific locker room guy. He's the kind of guy that if I were a team that just, you know, was contending and needed a veteran like that, I would be trying to get Taj Gibson, and if it came, you know, it ended up being a protected first-round pick you had to give, I would do it.
Yeah, the Kings just traded Marco Bellinelli for the 22nd pick, I think, in the draft with the
George Hill and Jeff Teague. That trade got a lottery pick.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a little precedent here. Obviously, Taj isn't quite as valuable as Teague or George Hill, I don't think. But, I mean, he's probably in the same range in terms of Marco Bellinelli as just terms of a contributor off the bench, a guy who can start too a little bit, maybe. I mean, Taj is probably more valuable than him, but Bellinelli had 2 years left on his contract. Taj has one left, so that's a little different. But I mean, just kind of the equation there makes you think maybe you could get a first round pick. But I mean,
Taj Gibson is also a better and more valuable player than Marco Bellinelli.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you for pointing that out. I should have done myself, but it will be interesting because, I mean, teams still value first-round picks because they're so cheap. And now you're paying Matthew Dellavedova $9 million a year. You're paying Evan Turner $19 million a year. And you got guys that can produce a lot of what they do at a dirt-cheap contract for several million dollars a year. Moving on to another Twitter question. Mr. Chicago Bulls, a little bit more bigger picture question, says, do you think Fred Hoiberg has what it takes to become an elite coach? It's a two-part question. We'll start there. What do you think, Sean?
I mean, he's only coached in the league for one year. I don't want to say, like, there's absolutely no way he can be an elite coach. And I mean, if you look at some guys, you know, a guy like George Karl didn't really become a great coach until his third stop, and the same thing with Terry Stotts. Like, so it's possible for a guy that doesn't maybe do great his first stop to be, you know, end up being a really good coach in the future. If he does become a great coach, I don't know if it's going to happen here in Chicago.
Yeah, Fred is a bright basketball mind again, whose personnel didn't fit his vision last year. Difficult to judge him off his rookie coaching season in the NBA. We're going to learn so much more about Fred this year, I think. Because even if the Bulls don't make the playoffs, even if they don't hit the 500 mark, we're going to see if people embrace Fred Hoiberg's style, his coaching, and just kind of his tone that he sets in the locker room. We're going to figure that out this year. And that's going to be maybe the biggest storyline of the Bulls season. They could trade some guys again. But, I mean, just when you think big picture, I mean, it's Fred, it's Jimmy, it's some of these younger guys. And that's what we're going to find out about Fred Hoiberg next year. Again, I don't want to close the door and say he can't be an elite coach. He's got to figure out how to make adjustments better, I think, to take that next step in his coaching level. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Also, that the story of this season is going to be Fred Hoiberg putting his stamp on the team. Because last year, it was just kind of doomed from the start in terms of, you know, he was coming into a team that was a veteran locker room. It was the same roster that was under Tom Thibodeau, who's like a polar opposite type of coach in terms of mentality and in terms of demeanor. And now a lot of those guys, you know, Derrick Rose is gone, Joakim Noah is gone, Pau Gasol hasn't signed anywhere yet, but I don't even think they were even talking to him about coming back, so he's very likely gone. You know, it's going to be a new roster with some of the younger guys held over, but then, you know, somebody else coming in, maybe whoever they sign in free agency. So this is going to be the chance that Fred Hoiberg has to really make this a roster that has his identity and put, you know, his stamp on it.
Yeah, part two of the question from Mr. Chicago Bulls. What coach, if you could pick any of them, would you ideally pick for the Bulls? And the answer is Greg Popovich in my mind.
Greg Popovich, Rick Carlisle. Can you bring Red Auerbach from the dead? Are we allowed to do that?
You're right. I mean, Greg Popovich is terrific.
The answer is always Greg Popovich.
You can put him in any situation in personnel, I think, and he's going to find a way to make a basketball team better.
Jimmy Butler would not have said to reporters that Greg Popovich needs to coach them harder.
Oh, man, I can't even imagine what would happen if something like that came about with Pop as your coach.
My actual answer is Rasheed Wallace. I just want Rasheed to be an NBA coach so badly.
How many times a day would he say, ball don't lie?
That's why I need it to happen.
That would be incredible theater and make for some great, great sound bites. We'll wrap it up here a little bit with another question. Will Joakim Noah get his jersey retired as a Bull? He just spent 9 years in Chicago, the heart and soul of the team for much of that, brought a passion to the court every day that was unrivaled, unmatched by any other Bull, I think, a lot of the times. Meant so much to the community with his anti-violence initiative, his Noah's Ark Foundation. I don't know how much that factors into retiring a jersey number. But do you think he's deserving, Sean?
Absolutely. I mean, if anybody is, the Bulls are not one of these organizations where, like, if you look at the Celtics have like 40 different jerseys retired. The Blazers have a ton of jerseys. Like, literally everybody on the 77 team in Portland that won the title has their jersey retired, pretty much. The Bulls have four retired numbers, which are Bob Love, Jerry Sloan, Michael Jordan, and Scottie Pippen. Even some of the guys from the 90s teams, like Dennis Rodman, doesn't have his number retired, and he's a Hall of Famer. So I don't know. I think Derrick Rose will get his number retired just because he's a Chicago kid who won MVP in Chicago. And I think a lot of the, you know, animosity that there is towards him from some people in the city will fade with time, and it'll be looked on more as just like a tragic story of a guy who just could never get back to where he was with the injuries. Joakim's a little bit different. Do I think he deserves to? Absolutely, because what he did on the court, he was a two-time All-Star. He won Defensive Player of the Year. That year in 2014, I think he came in either third or fourth in MVP voting. So he was one of the best players in the league at one point, even if you just look past his counting stats, which weren't that great. But yeah, I mean, and if you factor in all this other stuff, kind of the intangible stuff, you know, how much the locker room always rallied around him, how especially, you kind of especially saw that this year when the team just kind of went off the rails after he had his shoulder injury and he was away from the team for a lot of the rest of the season rehabbing. And plus, I mean, like you said, the stuff he did in the community, he was huge on like the anti-gun violence stuff. I think that really still resonates with a lot of people. He's a guy that's going to be loved here forever, whether he has his jersey retired or not.
Yeah, and his Noah's Ark Foundation, I believe, is going to stay headquartered in Chicago and keep going on, even though he's a New York Knick. It should be noted, Phil Jackson, Jerry Krause, also are honored up in the rafters for the Bulls. Now, I'm going to take the other angle here. I'm fine if Joakim Noah's jersey gets retired. I think I agree on Derrick Rose. I mean, he's MVP,
yeah.
No doubt.
And he's a Chicago kid.
Absolutely. But I've always been kind of the mind that I want it to be really, really hard, really difficult to get in the Hall of Fame to have your jersey retired. And in that sense, Joakim Noah is a terrific human being for what he did for Chicago, meant so much to the team in this era, and was kind of just the poster child for it a lot of times too. But they didn't win a championship while he's here. They made the Eastern Conference Finals once, I believe. Two-time All-Star, but he, even in that year where he won Defensive Player of the Year and was third or fourth in MVP voting, it wasn't like he was a transcendent player. It was kind of a function of him having to do more offensively. And I always just like it when the best of the best is a small group and a small club, I think. That's kind of where I come from.
So just Rose and Kirk Heinrich, then.
Well, yeah. Well, Kirk, he would get it for what, three-pointers, I believe?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Joakim Noah is the all-time leading offensive rebounder in Bulls history. Fourth all-time leading rebounder. But I feel like there might be need to be another club or something, like below jersey retired.
Or well, sort of like how the Yankees have a handful of numbers retired, but then they also have Monument Park, where some guys who don't have their numbers retired, at least like they'll get a little plaque recognizing what they did for the organization. I would be, you know, something like that, where you want to put Luol Deng in there, you want to put Kirk Heinrich in there, a lot of these guys who were big. Even Taj Gibson might get to get in there, because he's been with the organization for a long time.
And for no other reason, because he's played through like 500 injuries, uh-huh. And when Tom Thibodeau asked him how his torn ligament in his hand felt, Taj basically said, "It's awful." He asked Taj, "Where are you from?" He said something about being from Brooklyn, New York. And Tip said, "Well, act like it." And then Taj Gibson kept like I miss those days sometimes.
By the way, I just wanna say something else real quick. We didn't talk about it when we talked about these free agent deals that have happened. If the per year numbers on this Evan Turner deal are what we kind of expect them to be, Evan Turner is making more this year than Jimmy Butler is on his current contract.
And you seem to have some
beef
on Twitter with people.
Yes, here's my thing. You have a top 15 guy in the league, or top 15, top 20 guy in the league, who's 26 years old, and is under contract for three more years at a number that's less than what Evan Turner just got paid. And people are out here saying, well, hey, we should trade Jimmy Butler for Jay Crowder and a couple of future first round. Like, no. That the contracts that are coming out less than 24 hours of free agency just prove the Bulls really, unless they get absolutely blown away, they get some kind of an offer that involves like Andrew Wiggins or some other kind of potentially transcendent talent like that. No, they shouldn't trade Jimmy Butler.
And that makes Robin Lopez's $13, $14 million a year for 3 years contract that he has with the Bulls look better.
Yeah, would you rather have Robin Lopez for $13 million a year or Timofey Mozgov for $16? I would rather have Robin Lopez.
I think we all know the answer to that. We do hope to have more answers for you regarding the Bulls the next time we host a podcast. We haven't made an exact plan yet. Probably Monday is our next podcast, I think, so you can listen into it. Tuesday when you return to work from the 4th of July holiday weekend. Have a great weekend, as always. Please follow us on Twitter, at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken, at Locked On Bulls. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any advertising questions you have, with any basketball questions you have. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Tell your friends' friends. Tell the people you grill out with on 4th of July weekend about our podcast.
Just put on the podcast while you're grilling. It's good ambient noise, too.
It's terrific. Also, find us on Stitcher. Find us on Audioboom. Have a terrific holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.